Amen. God's good to us. We'll be in Psalm 8, the 8th Psalm this morning. Thankful that we can turn to God's Word once again when time, when things seem chaotic, when a nation seems like it's upside down, we can anchor in to the stronghold of God's Word. It is a sure foundation. It's a sure foundation for a nation, and it's a sure foundation for you and I. We can anchor into it. We can build on it. We can work through it. And I'm glad because I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm here to tell you, I know who holds tomorrow, and he may decide before the day is done to come back and get his children, just like we were just singing about. It could, the resurrection morning could be this morning. We could just a little while longer, and I say praise God. Come, Lord Jesus. But if he doesn't come today, we're going to get into his word like we've always done. We're going to get and we're going to try to apply it to our lives. So Psalm 8, starting in verse 1, it says this: O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to come in. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach. Lord, help us to listen, to learn, to apply it to our life, to grow. And Lord, we need revival. Lord, let it start right here in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for all things. And in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. So this is the first psalm in order that this one's the first hymn that we run into, Psalm 8. And I like how he begins. He begins, O Lord, our Lord. It's kind of like saying our God is our master. That's what he's saying. The second Lord is more like a master. O Lord, our master. He is in control today. God is in control. Even when all things seem out of control, as we've said many times. But I'll tell you what. You know where worship needs to begin? It needs to begin with the Lord. You know where worship needs to end? Just like this verse. He started with the Lord and he ends with the Lord. And he's got the Lord in the middle. I'm here to tell you what. If we come in here today and we don't start with Jesus and end with Jesus and have Jesus in the middle, we're in trouble today and we're wasting our time. I'll tell you what. We need to start every day with the Lord and end it with the Lord and rely on the Lord in the middle. You know what the problem is with this world? They're trying to start it with every other thing and end it with all sorts of things, and then all through the middle fill it with different stuff and wonder why they're so confused, wonder so why they're following everything one day and following something else the next day, is because that's the devil. He'll let you follow anything. He'll send you one direction and send you another, and is never consistent. But I'm glad we've got God's word that's consistent, and that's an anchor that we can anchor into. I tell you what, people worship all sorts of things. They worship other men and women. They worship things. But the name of Jesus Christ is above every other name. And that's the name worthy of our praise. That's what he says. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. You can search the earth. You know, there are great names of great men and women over the years that have done things. Names that have really made changes. We learn about them in school. You know, Edison, Einstein, all the different ones with physics and math and different things. Big names that have done great things. But I'm here to tell you, there's no name like the name of Jesus Christ. Here's the problem. The name of Jesus, see, it says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And you may stop and think, now wait a second, Mike. I don't hear the name of Jesus worshipped out in this earth, all across the earth. Do you? I hear his name taken in vain all across this earth, but I don't hear his name worshiped. But it says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You know what one of the problems is? The Bible says that men like darkness rather than light. They would rather be blind than follow the truth. But it doesn't change the truth of that statement. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. Whether every man chooses to not believe it or not, his name is still the highest name on this earth. You know why the name of Jesus is excellent? It's because of who he is. Right? Isn't that what they say? We say somebody has a good name, not because of how it's spelled or pronounced, but because of who they are. And I'll tell you what, we've got a name of Jesus who's excellent. It's because of his mercy. That's why his name is excellent above all the other names. He's so merciful. He's full of grace. He's full of forgiveness of sins. His sacrifice on the cross. How excellent is his name? There is no other that died on the cross for our sins. There is his compassion, doing all of it, even compassionate to his enemies. His strength. And his. One day he's going to judge. How excellent his name when he comes to judge the earth. There will be no name above his. And I tell you what, how excellent is his name, because he hasn't left us here by himself. He is coming again for his people. What other name can give eternal life? There is none. His name is excellent throughout all the earth, because it says right there, he has set the glory, thy glory above the heavens. All we have to do is look up into the sky and we can see his great power, his excellence, his judgment, his strength, all of those things. We can see it. The majesty of God. You realize something? These stars didn't hang themselves. The planets didn't get put in their orbit by accident. It was because of God. He spoke it. And in fact, the very wind that blows that we can't see, it is because God spoke it into existence, and God is still running things. It is his name. John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Aren't you glad? So it is his. We can look up and we can see his majesty, whether it's in the daytime. We saw at our house the other day a rainbow, and it was so wide. I don't think I've ever seen one that wide and that bright. It wasn't very long, but it was incredible to look at. And then the night sky, you look up and see all the stars. That's Jesus. How excellent is his name on all the earth. But then look at verse 2. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. You know what this world says about a baby? That it isn't a real human life until it's born. But I'll tell you what, have you ever held, like Preston said, you ever held a newborn baby? I watched one come out that was a month early, that technically still shouldn't have been alive to this earth standard, to science's standard. But I'll tell you what, I was sure really quickly that was an answered prayer. That was a miracle. That was an act of God. That wasn't some random chance. That wasn't something that was just happened to be put together by accident or by evolution. It was a miracle, the creation of God. That's why he's so excellent. You know what? I've realized something. God doesn't need a mighty warrior to fight battles, does he? In fact, he just needs those that are faithful. Yeah. Remember when the Philistine champion Goliath was out there, and he was talking down on the God of Israel? He was saying how little they were and how they were nothing. God didn't need a mighty warrior that day to fight Goliath. He used young David. He had no military training. Saul's armor wouldn't fit. He tried to, at first he was going to take the sword, but he was too little for all of those things. But I like what David said to Goliath. 1 Samuel 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. God used a sling and a stone that day to knock the Philistine giant down, and his gods at the same time. And I love the fact that he slings the stone, it hits him in the forehead, and science and physics says that he should have fell backward, but he fell forward because God pushed him. And I'll tell you what, if there's something in the way, God is about ready to knock it over. I have seen him do that many times. He gives people space to repentance. But I tell you what, you stand in the way of the Lord long enough, he'll knock you out of the way. Whether it's one man, whether it's an army, whether it's an entire
entire nation. He's got rid of them because he said, you know what? My will go on. My people will go on. And all of these things, he uses the weak things. Right? 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Haven't we seen that? Haven't we seen that today? They're confounded by God. And all they do is that instead of thinking about it and reasoning about it, all they do is make fun of it. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You know, I'm glad that's so true. Because I'm not very strong in these world standards. But when I have the power of God behind me, I'm no different than David was that day. There's no enemy too big for God. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. You know, Jesus quoted this verse out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. He quoted that. You know what he quoted at? When the chief priests and the scribes were mad because there were children crying out to Jesus in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." It made them angry. You know what I say? It blesses my heart when I see all these little kids God's blessed us with. When I see them singing, when I see them reciting verses, when I see them kneeling down to prayer. You're thinking, well, you know what the critics say? They don't understand what they're doing. I'm telling you what, I think they understand more than we think they understand. But they're seeing things. They're seeing the right way to live. And that blesses my heart because God said, I'll use even children to worship me. And we see it over and over again. Yeah, they get a little unruly from time to time, but we should watch them and see what they're doing. They're soaking it in. You don't believe it? Wait till your child sings Amazing Grace all the way through and think, how did they learn that? I didn't teach them that. Oh, but God teaches them things, and we're thankful for that. Thankful for it. Out of their mouths is enough strength to overcome the enemy. Look at this. Verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou ordained. I already said we look up to the sky and we're amazed. I don't know about you, but if you've ever realized how small we are on this planet. And then think about how small this planet is compared to the sun. And then in fact there are other stars in our galaxy that we know about that make our sun just as tiny. We start to get real small when it comes to the heavens, right? Can you imagine little David in the pasture, remembering back when he was tending to the sheep, looking up into the sky, knowing that God created it all. And then look at verse 4. I think this is the key to the whole psalm. Two questions David asks. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? When I think about how small I am in comparison to God, and how small, we're just a speck of dust in this universe. And he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know what he says? God, thou art mindful of man. You know what he's saying? God thinks about us. God considers us. God, we are in God's mind. And that's what he's saying. David is saying, look at how, Lord, there's none like you. There's no other name like you. Lord, your name is greater than all the earth. You are the greatest. Your strength is unmatched. I look up at the heavens and I'm amazed at how excellent it is and how majestic and everything else. And then he looks down at himself and he says, what is man? Who am I that you would think of me, Lord? Who am I that you would consider me in your day-to-day life? And just normal times, God thinks about us and God knows us and God sees our thoughts. That is enough right there. We could stop and we could praise God forever on that.
Amen.
In fact, other gods that men have invented are too busy for their people, but not our God. Yeah. We're on His mind. Not only are we on his mind, but he says, son of man. Now this son of man is lowercase. That means anyone born of Adam. He says, and the son of man that thou visitest him. Not only does God think about us, not only does God consider us, but He visits us. He walks with us. He dwells within us. He hears our cries. What is man that He would visit you and I? I'm telling you what, the planets, the stars, they're mighty, they're majestic, they're huge in the sky. The sun is huge in the sky, but God's not thinking about the planets. He's not thinking about the stars. He's running them without even really considering it. But that's not true for you and I. He sees us. He considers us. He loves us. He walks with us. He fellowships with us. All of those things He wants us to do. And David's stopping and saying, I don't deserve it.
Right.
Who am I as this one man? Who am I as this speck of dust in this giant universe, in this great God, that He would think about me? Does that help you, church? This world's a mess. TV's a mess. Right? The internet's a mess. Our workplaces are a mess. Our schools are a mess. And the list goes on and on and on. But I'll say, hold on. Your work may not be thinking about you today.
That's right.
Right? The school's not really, they're thinking about different things, maybe how to open and if they can open. In fact, your family may not be thinking about you, but God's thinking about you.
Yeah.
And God's considering.
Amen.
And you know what He wants to do more than anything else? He wants to walk with you.
Yeah.
And He wants to talk with you and fellowship with you and hear your prayers and speak to you through His Word in the Holy Spirit. You're thinking, now wait a second. God wants to do all of that, but it doesn't feel like He's been doing that. And I'm here to tell you, it's not because God said no. It's because we have.
Yeah.
We can get so infatuated with what's going on around us. Right? So busy, concerned with all the cares of the world. I hate to break it to you, but you and I, if we spent our entire life fixing the world, we couldn't do it.
Right.
Even if you focused on one thing, maybe if we all came together and said, you know what, we're going to get rid of poverty, we're going to do everything it takes for the rest of our life, and Jesus said in one sentence, the poor will be with you always.
Yeah.
We can't fix that. You know what we can do? We can acknowledge the God that cares about us.
Yeah.
Who thinks about us. Who wants to fellowship with us. Who wants to visit with us. And I hope you're realizing something. We don't deserve it.
That's
His mercy. No more than we deserve salvation. We don't deserve to be on His mind. And we don't deserve Him fellowshipping with us here today. But you know what? I'll say thank you, Lord, for doing it.
Yeah.
I'm nothing. And I'm glad. I'm telling you what, the president isn't coming here to visit. Why? Because we're nothing out here. But God said, I'll come and visit. Right? And He's so much higher than every leader of this earth.
Yeah.
Then He goes on. Look at verse 5. For thou hast made him, talking about God making men a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Here's the answer to evolution right here. For thou hast made him, right? Yeah. God made man. That easy, right there. God created man in His own image, and it wasn't animals that created man. We didn't come through them with random mutations or anything else, but look what He says, and made him a little lower than the angels. You know what this world wants us to think? That we are a little higher than the animals. That's not true. God said you're a little lower than the angels.
Yeah.
Why? Because He wants us to look up, not look down.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't want to. You know, in fact, He's got an answer for the animals. That's the next verses. You know what He says? Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands and put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, beasts of the field. And then goes on in verse 8 to talk about all the things in the sea. He says, listen, I created you a little lower than the angels, and I've given you dominion over this earth, and I've given you dominion over all of the animals. It's the same thing we saw in Genesis. It's still true.
God has given it to us. But you know what this earth wants us to do? This world wants us to bow down to Mother Nature, wants us to change our lives, and they're more concerned with the life of an animal than the life of a human being, and they've got it all backwards, and it's no accident. It is because of the devil. He doesn't want anything. He doesn't want us to follow anything in this word whatsoever. Right? He doesn't want us to look at who we are and where we're from. The devil can't stand us obeying the Bible, so he attacks every part of it, no matter how big or how small. You know, it's sad to me, is there are people that are dedicating their entire life for some cause. And they may make a little dent in something and have their name put on something. And maybe get an award along the way. And the praises of men along the way. But then they're going to die. And they're going to stand before Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then go to hell. Why? Not because they're not going to hell because they didn't do enough to save the animals. They're going to hell because they never considered the one who created all.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what's sad. And you know it's true. We work around them, go to school with them, family and friends that are just dead set on certain things. Save the environment. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to destroy the earth that I created. But don't worry, I'm making a new one.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
That tells me you and I can't destroy it ourselves. It's sad, but this is what the devil wants us to do. He wants this world to get their eyes off of God and onto things they've made and things that God's created and take God out of the entire equation. This has been his plan from the beginning. And it may get worse, but that doesn't change. In fact, if it got 100 times worse in a year, we could come back to Psalms 8 and every bit of it would still be true. And then you get to the end and we end with what we started with. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is all is thy name in all the earth. Right?
Yes.
God's still worthy of praise. I don't care what this earth turns into. He is still the Lord of it. He is still the King of it. His name is above every name. And one day he is returning to it. And he is taking it. And he is setting up his throne. And he's going to show us how real government should be written. And then we are going to see him for who he is. That is still true. I don't care what the news says. I don't care what Facebook says. I don't care what new law comes out. I don't care who's elected. I would rather have one person than the other. But I'm here to tell you, none of that changes one even letter of this word.
Right.
Not even a single letter in a verse will change because of what happens with us in this world. You know what that tells me? God still got it under control.
Yeah.
Even, I've said it before and I know people don't like it, even if the very United States fell, and I love this country, and it's a good country. I've been to other ones that are a mess. Even worse. But even if we fell, this would all still be true.
Right?
Right? That means salvation's still the same. Jesus is still the same. Our job is still the same. He's still worthy of praise. And even if the country fell and everything we knew it changed, which it could, we could still say this. Who am I, Lord, that you're considering me, that you're mindful of me? Who am I that you would have come visit me?
That's right.
That's what this nation's missing. You've got a God that still loves them, even though they hate him.
Yeah.
They don't hate them because they know who God really is. They hate them because the devil's told them to hate God, and they're listening to the devil. But God still loves them. And he's still merciful.
Amen.
Right? He's still long-suffering. Willing that none should perish. That's why we're still here. But you know what we need to do? Church, we need to redouble our efforts. The devil wants you to get focused on out here.
Yeah.
You know what our
what we do out this direction, we pray for them, we give them the truth.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Everything else is this direction. Right?
Yeah.
I need something. We're not calling our politician, right? When we need something. We're turning to God who has it all. Right?
Yeah.
I don't like how I'm being treated. Right? We don't turn to those around us. We turn to God.
Yeah.
You know what God has shown me sometimes when I came to Him whining and pouting about different things? He said, well, how have you been treating people lately?
Yeah.
Right? How have you been acting? What have you been doing? Oh, I don't like to hear that. He said, that's why I told you. So you get closer to me. I'm here to tell you He's worthy of praise,
Amen.
Church. We think about so many things. Where's our mind at? Because we know where God's mind is. It's on us. I don't understand why. But it doesn't matter. It is.
Amen.
So if God's mind's on us, where are you putting your mind? Right?
Yes.
What is man that thou art mindful of him?
Yes.
David saying this is, I can't believe it that you're thinking about me. And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. He wants to dwell in your heart. If you're lost, He wants to save your soul and forgive you of your sins. If you're a Christian person, if you've already trusted in Jesus Christ, if you called on His name, He didn't just want to visit you one time that day. He wants to visit with you every day.
Right?
He wanted to walk with with Adam in the cool of the day every single day. He wanted fellowship with him.
Yeah.
Sin broke that fellowship. You know what God's been doing ever since that day? Restoring.
Amen.
He wants it back. If God didn't want to have fellowship with us, He would have never sent His Son Jesus
Christ.
That's
right.
To die on the
cross.
That's right. How much does God want to visit with us? Look at Jesus. That's how much.
Yeah.
How much does He care about you? Enough that He sent His only begotten Son. I hope it causes you to stop and think about there is nobody greater that cares about you.
Yeah.
Nobody greater that's thinking about you. Man, we get tore up when someone out here, when we think they've forgotten about us. Can you imagine how tore up we'd be if God forgot about us?
Yeah.
Can you imagine where we would be if God said, I don't want to see you anymore. I don't want to come to where you're at anymore. And I don't want you to come to where I am anymore. I don't know about you, church, but I've done things worthy of God being able to say that.
Yeah.
Both before I was saved and after.
That's right.
Yeah.
He'd have every right to cut me off.
Yes, He does.
But that's not Him. Right? I would have cut me off. But Jesus said, you're still mine. I'm still thinking about you every day. How much does He love us? Right? We're the bride. He's the bridegroom, right?
Yes.
He's thinking about us every day. He's fellowshipping with us every day through His Spirit. And one day, we're going to be joined together. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. We know what's on God's mind. What's on your mind? We know where God wants to be. He wants to visit with us. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to spend your time? Where do you want to visit? Let's get on the same page as God. Not just for our sakes, but for this world's sake. Right? We visit with God instead of watching and listening to what the world says is wrong. We can help make a difference. The same goes true in our life. We've got some real problems in our own lives. Why don't we take it to the God who already has us on His mind?
Yeah.
You know what that tells me? If I'm tore up about something, He is tore up about the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what He wants us to do? Just come to Him. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the altar.
Brooke's getting a song. We're going to open up the altar. And will you come today? I don't know what you've got. I don't know what the problem is, but just come and take it to Him. Just drop the pride. Let's just come to the altar and take it to Him and deal. He's already thinking about you right now. He wants to visit with you, but He's not going to kick the door in. He's not going to force His way in. He's waiting for you to open the door. I tell you, a great way to show Him that you want Him to open the door is you just take a step out and pray. There's nothing special right here other than the fact that it shows God that you mean business. But you can also deal with them at your seat.